eat healthy for a while now, even before the class.
It means eating things that are healthy for you, not just like ramen noodles. Even though you don't have a lot of money, you can still make healthy things.
Go ahead. Oh, well, even in college, when you're on a limited budget, you're supposed to be studying and, you know, working hard, and like you can't do that on unhealthy food. So being able to make healthy stuff and not breaking your budget.
But Tesla Varvel is just now starting to think about the importance of home cooking. In fact, she says what she's learning in the independent living class is beginning to rub off on her at home, where she's starting to talk to her parents about healthy eating.
I mean, my parents aren't, they don't really cook, so they kind of poorly influence me to eat out and stuff. And also, like, frozen pizza, and I hate frozen pizza now, but they just, I guess the way I was growing up, like, my parents didn't cook as much, so it's grown on me.
Another effort in Urbana to teach cooking is offered through the Common Ground Food Co-op. Its Eating Healthy on a Budget class is designed to do as it suggests. Mary Higgs, who works at the co-op, says eating healthy on a budget doesn't have to be a chore. She recently led one of the cooking demonstrations where about 10 people, including Amanda Perez, showed up.
I like to make my food fun, and I get tired of food very easily, which is why one of the reasons that I'm trying to cook more in bulk and do a lot more freezing so I'm not eating the same thing literally the next day.
Common Ground General Manager Jacqueline Hanna began offering the Eating Healthy on a Budget classes about 3 years ago. The store is expanding in the fall, and so are the courses. Hanna says the classes are designed to be convenient, even for people leading busy lives.
People aren't actually lazy. People do care about their food. They do care about their health. We're told we don't, but we have very crazy busy lives. How are we going to make it fit into our lives? When we make it fit, we make it a time that they can come and get skills that they can use. They want to be there.
Food demonstration classes offered at the Common Ground Food Co-op are just the beginning. I'm standing in what will be the expanded area of the store. Construction crews are still working on this room. This area will include space for cooking classes, equipped with an oven, refrigerator, sinks, countertops, and cabinets. Meanwhile, a separate kitchen for the rest of the store will be located upstairs. Hannah says she's been approached by dozens of people eager to share their knowledge.
People who'd like to come in and teach classes on how to put healthy food into children's diets. People who want to come in and talk to people about how to eat healthy with diabetes or learn about phytonutrients and why they matter. We've also been approached with people who want to teach how to make cheese and how to can. So it's very diverse, as well as roll your own sushi.
Like any sort of home economics class, Common Ground's teaching kitchen doesn't have to be permitted by the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. That's because the food made there is meant to stay within the parameters of the class and not be distributed to the general public. Environmental Health Director Jim Roberts says one thing that's missing from the cooking class is proper education about foodborne illnesses.
For example, do you know cut melons are a potentially hazardous food that need to be handled carefully? So you didn't know that, but we know that. So if someone wants to go in there and talk about how to make, you know, something with melons, you know, it should be aware that, you know, melons are potentially hazardous food. They support the growth of pathogenic organisms, in this case, salmonella.
While Roberts wants to see his office have more of a role in public health education during cooking classes, he also says there's a need to provide a type of class that can serve as a launching pad for entrepreneurs.
I think people always have dreams of entering the food business, and, you know, having this regulated or permitted kitchen so oftentimes is a barrier, and that's why we encourage people to go to already permitted kitchen to get started, use it as your commissary base, or even a church kitchen that may not be permitted, but it could be permitted, and to use that to get started to see how your business would take off.
A business incubator kitchen was the original intent of the Flatlander Food Foundry, which was a fund set up to raise money for such an effort in the area. But this year, that money was redirected to the Common Ground Food Co-op's new teaching kitchen. Common Ground General Manager Jacqueline Hanna says a business incubator kitchen is costly and not in her plans at the moment. But she says long-term, it's not off the table. I'm Sean Powers, Illinois Public Media.
The growing movement to produce food in central Illinois and make it available to all is the focus of a day of programming airing on WILL AM and WILL TV on Thursday. To learn more, visit our website, will.illinois.edu. Our media engagement initiative on health and wellness is funded in part by a grant from the Lumpkin Family Foundation. It's one of those odd, celebratory yet bittersweet moments, the tearing down of a beloved building. We see it from time to time in the sports world as misty-eyed fans gather to bid farewell to their favorite old ballpark or arena as it's demolished. On college campuses, where new construction seems to always be in vogue, it's a ritual that happens all too often, as an old haunt, maybe a classroom building, a rec center, or dormitory is torn down to make room for something new. The campus of Western Illinois University in Macomb faced one such moment over the weekend as the 13-story Wetzel Hall dorm was imploded. The event drew hundreds of spectators, some of whom spoke with Illinois Public Radio's Rich Egger.
Many of those people gathered in Q Lot, the massive parking lot just west of Wetzel Hall. Campus police kept them a safe distance back while the music blared and breakfast was served. It felt similar to a tailgate party. Just before 7 a.m., everything was ready to roll.
1 minute warning.
And before you knew it, the big moment arrived. One witness described it as sounding like timpani drums. The building collapsed inward in a huge cloud of dust. It was an emotional moment for Jason Nelson.
It was actually pretty upsetting to see it go.
Why do you suppose so?
The memories that I have there, all the friends that I've made that I still talk to now, the people that I've met, getting through school, the late nights, up studying, study groups, just the good and the bad times seem just all good right now.
Nelson lived in Wetzel from 2002 to 2004. He's now a catering supervisor for Sodexo at Western. Nelson was in Q-Lot to work and did not expect such feelings to surface.
After it went down, my heart just sank. It was a very hard thing to watch.
Kevin and Lynn Betts of Appleton, Wisconsin, felt the same way. They met years ago as students when they were on the orientation staff at Wetzel and helped fellow students move in. Kevin and Lynn had an on-and-off relationship for a while. Now they've been married 29 years. It all started in a building they just watched come tumbling down.
I thought I'd be more in control, but when it came down, when it was a cloud of smoke, I kind of lost it.
Killed me.
But, you know, we still have the memories.
We have the memories.
Friends and my wife.
Right. But
and they're
now,
here. All of our friends are here.
All our friends are here. But now when we come and we go to see Wetzel, it's not there.
Well, they're going to have a kind of a memorial thing there, you know, so you can remember it. So it's bittersweet. It's
bittersweet.
You know,
yeah, it's a
new chapter for Western.
You build a lifetime of memories, and it came down in a hurry, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah, and that's when it hit me. I was fine. I knew she was going to be upset. Then it kicked in for me, too.
My video is not worthy. It shook because I was crying. I can't even post it. I'm going to have to find somebody who has one that's in control. It's just, I'm a baby, but, it's a very sentimental and important thing to us.
We have great memories that we're not going to lose, so we still have that. So.
More than 20,000 people have memories of Wetzel. That's how many students lived in the dorm in the years since it was built in 1970. The university took it offline in 2009. Asbestos abatement work began last October. Contractors have been removing salvageable metals and other items since May. Just a shell of the building remained when that timpani drum-like sound shattered the calm morning air. The implosion was done so early in case anything came up to delay it. Cleanup crews wanted to start clearing the site during daylight hours. But Ted Renner of Western's physical plant says the university heard from some who did not like the idea of a 7 a.m. implosion.
We had a lot of people call and say, oh, can you move it back to maybe 8 or 9 o'clock? You know, we don't really want to get out of bed at 7 a.m. And we literally had people call us and ask us that. And we said, no, you know, we're going to kind of go with this as it is.
Contractors from Controlled Demolition Incorporated and Brandenburg Industrial Services say the implosion came off perfectly. There is quite a bit of dust around the site, coating the grass, bushes, and concrete. The cleanup of the massive pile of rubble will continue for the rest of the summer. The university will eventually turn the site into a park. It could look nice, But for Jason Nelson and Kevin and Lynn Betts and thousands of others, it will never be quite the same as the place they once called home. Rich Egger reporting.
Join us in September for WILL's Civil War Train. Board vintage train cars for stops in Vicksburg, Atlanta, Kennesaw Mountain, Chickamauga, and New Orleans. Visit the Smithsonian Southern and Southeast Railway Museums and see Civil War-era Washington, D.C. The trip is nearly sold out. Call 217-333-7300 or visit www.will.illinois.edu/willtravel for more information.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 16th of July, 2012. It's the birthday of St. Clare of Assisi, born on this day in 1194. She was the daughter of a wealthy family who, as a teenager, often heard the young Francis of Assisi preaching the gospel. And she was impressed by stories of how he cared for the lepers outside the town. When she was 18, she ran away in the middle of the night to give her vows to him, and he cut her hair, dressed her in black, took her to a Benedictine cloister. She lived a life of extreme poverty, which she viewed as a privilege because it was the way that Jesus had lived. Other women joined her order, which became known as the Poor Ladies, and eventually the Order of St. Clare, or the Poor Clares, who spent their time in prayer, manual labor, and refused to own any property. It was on this date, 1936, the photographer Walker Evans started work on a project with the writer James Agee. Evans had been working for the Farm Security Administration, and he got a leave of absence to go on assignment for Fortune magazine and document the effects of the Great Depression on tenant farmers in the South. There were three families, cotton farmers, that Agee and Evans got to know, whom Agee referred to as the Gudgers, the Ricketts, and the Woods. They wanted to make a documentary. They didn't want the images to be political or to be artistic, just a record of the times. But Fortune magazine was not happy with the outcome. They wanted Agee to rewrite it. He refused to do that. Eventually, Agee and Evans published the text and photographs as a book in 1941. It didn't do all that well. It was reissued in 1960, Let Us Now Praise Famous Men, and the photographs among the most famous images of the Great Depression.